Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Okay, I'm re-recording this. I lost it, bawled my eyes out too many times, and I don't want you to be listening to me blubbering on a podcast. But I do have to share how grateful I am that God found me when he found me, pulled me out of the pits of hell, changed my heart to believe in everything about this beautiful Catholic Church, all of the sacraments, and I never knew how much I would love the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And I'll share a little bit about that. But I believe that God put on my heart to really dive deep and dig deep into my spiritual life and my prayer life. Some of you may be new, but I started getting up at 5 a.m. I thought it was in the beginning of November, but maybe it was earlier than that because it seems like I've been doing it forever. I wake up and I have about an hour and a half of prayer, which is all, you know, it's the rosary and it's my Our Lady of Good Sorrows devotion. And it's all of my other kind of litany prayers that come with the St. Louis de Montfort consecration to Jesus through Mary. Then I read the readings and I meditate on those for about 15 minutes. Then I listen to the Bible in a Year. I got back onto that. I'm on day, 43 or something like that. Anyway, so yeah, it's a lot of prayer, but God knew he was preparing me for something. And he does this to us. He prepares us for things that are coming, which is my Father. And all of these decisions that we have to make, not to mention the mere sadness of just watching his health disappear, almost like his life. And it's not, honestly, it's not looking good, but I am giving it to God. I am asking him, you know, I'm putting all my hope in him. I say I would love it if my dad could be here longer. I want him to be mentally there and physically there. So far, he's still there mentally, but he is so weak. I mean, can't get up. You know, like it's concerning to say the least. And then to put some chemo drug in him on top of that. But again, this is what I've been doing, is just giving it up to God. Lord, I love you. I trust you. And if you take my father off of this earth, I know that he will be with you. Now I'm going to hold off on one thing there. I just was in my mind going, well, should I go here or should I go there? So I'm going to go here first. And the reason that I'm going here first is because it kind of attaches to this part of the story. You know, it's emotional. And if I didn't have prayer and didn't have that ability to take my emotions and control them, I would be an emotional juvenile right now. And I have my moments. I've told you, I just recorded this podcast over because I lost it. I'm not saying that having emotions is juvenile. That's not what I'm saying. I actually think that emotions that are right emotions, like crying and being sad and mourning, you know, not mourning my dad's death because he's still here, but mourning his health that I see escaping him and the potential doom and gloom of death on the horizon, but I'm not allowing myself to go there. I am going back to living in this moment day by day and giving it to God and giving it literally to Him. So yeah, I'll pray for my dad to be here and I'll go to Mary and just continue to make my petitions, but then it's only if it's your will, Lord. And the reason I'm also peaceful about this, only if it's your will, Lord, is because my dad, we were at a pretty scary moment. And I'm pretty sure that he was like, oh boy, this is it. I think we all were. And he himself reached out and said, you know what? I'd like to have my soul right with God. And he asked me, can I have my last rites? He's old school, of course. You know, we call it the anointing of the sick. And it's when a priest comes, and if you're coherent, and my dad was, he'll ask you to confess your sins, the sins that you know. And if you're not coherent, some people, you know, aren't able to speak. And so they will get the anointing of the sick without that confession part. But there's a great, I mean, I'm so happy that he asked for it, that he wanted to be right with God. The whole family knows. It's just beautiful. And he was so relieved. So yeah, I got the priest in there. So what happens again is then they pray and then they anoint him on the forehead and on the hands. You may pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. By the way, if anyone is ill or sick, the Divine Mercy Chaplet is a go-to prayer. Pray it as often as you can. Especially at the deathbed, there's major powers there. Not powers, but, you know, I mean, we're calling on help from Jesus at that moment of that person's journey, hopefully into heaven. Okay, I digress. Let me go back. So yeah, that's why I have a little bit of peace too. And I'm so blessed. So blessed. So this is why I have that belief in the sacraments of the Catholic Church. And there were days where I wasn't exactly sure if we were going to be in. So what happened was, my father moved to 3 different hospitals, and I had one of my priests, Father Parker, you may know him. He's a canceled priest. He's actually been on Michael Voris's Church Militant programs where they've, you know, talked about good, holy priests out there who have been canceled. Well, he's one of them. I was going to have him come out, had him scheduled, and then that night they moved him downtown, and I'm like, so had to shift gears and go with a different priest from a downtown parish outside of anyone that I knew. And, you know, I don't care. It was a priest. He came. He did what he needed to do. Apostolic pardon as well. And this is the beauty of the church. All throughout our journey, we get to receive these beautiful, not just beautiful, but soul-converting, life-changing, salvation-directing sacraments like confession and baptism. I mean, let's start with baptism, right? That's the first one that gets us in to God's family, to be adopted and grafted in to His heart and His love and to Jesus. And confession, you know, that's what's there for us all the way through. And don't forget the Eucharist and the sacrifice of the Mass, where we can receive Him into our mind, body, souls every day if we so choose. And that helps us. It strengthens us. He is within us. Can you imagine? Think about the souls out, not the souls, sorry, but the spirits, the evil spirits out there seeking the ruin of souls, who are really trying to taunt you. And every single day you receive Jesus in the Eucharist, talk about already the armor of God from within. And then if you had a prayer life, and then if you paid attention and you delivered the spirits, like God gives us all of these other tools and weapons for the journey, but the sacraments are there for the fight, for the real fight. And then when we're really suffering and we're on our last leg where we think this is it, we have that beautiful anointing of the sick. Bread for the journey. The peace for the family, the peace for the patient. Think about that for a second. And my dad, I remember having conversations with him about, dude, you got to get to confession, man. You can't wait. How do you know when you're going to die? You could die in a car crash. He's like, I'll get it from the priest when I'm on my deathbed. I said, Dad, that's a sin of presumption, that you presume that you're going to make it to a hospital on a deathbed where you can call him in. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. I don't know if I ever talked to him about that. I should laugh with him about that. You know, Dad, that's pretty funny that that was how you said you were going to end up getting your anointing of the sick, or what the old term was, last rites. It's just beautiful. The church that we are in is beautiful. And the fact that my father, even though not practicing, truly, this was not just a, hey, I'm going to do this so I don't go to hell. I mean, he, I know, has been on a journey. He and I have talked about things that, you know, I'm not going to share, but I think it's glorious to share when someone turns their heart to God, where they say, I need to make my soul right with the Lord. You know, it's just beautiful. At any stage of the journey, anytime we turn away from sin, or anytime that we run to confession, that's what we're doing. We're turning ourselves back to God. And sometimes it takes life or death to have people get there. But you know what? What a grace, what a blessing. I mean, what a gift, what a gift. Okay, so I do not know what I would do without prayer and without trust in God, without living in the moment. And all of that, I believe, is why there's that beautiful grace and blessing that the Holy Spirit turned to my father's heart and had him make the request. Made the request twice, right? We were at the one hospital. I told him, okay, I got my guy. He's coming. Then when we're moving, he goes, well, what are we going to do? And I said, oh, we'll work on, you know, whatever priest is on the list at the other hospital. And he's like, okay. And then I got there and I double checked and I said it again. Do you want it? Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. Just awesome. Okay. Anyway, go deep in your prayer life. It will never, ever be the wrong decision. It will never come back and haunt you. If anything, it will give you this beautiful anchor. And that's what I feel like. I feel like in this rough ocean of emotions and stuff, that I'm truly anchored in him, and I'm so grateful. Ah, okay, pulled it together. Yeah, it's an emotional ride for sure. And again, I'm anchored in him. I have my moments. I let it go, and then I let it go to him. All right, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, come Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our minds, into our bodies, into our soul, and give us that peace, that knowledge, that understanding of how we need to live as Christians so that we can have that peace that surpasses everything that we could ever imagine. You have laid everything out for us. You have given us tools and sacraments and weapons on the journey. All we have to do is use them. So we ask Mary, Holy Spirit, your beloved spouse, and the Holy Spirit within us, our guardian angel, all of the holy angels and saints, to pray for us on our behalf, to help us to pay attention, to live in this 24-hour journey, and to truly love from our hearts, ourselves and others, but most importantly, God, to give him our time, to give you, Lord, our time, to give you our heart, because you are all deserving of our love. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes when I pray, I kind of forget that I'm praying to God and I'm saying things. So I kind of did that at the end. Sorry. Okay. So whatever's going on in your life, turn to God. Turn to the sacraments. And you will be turning to peace. Okay, find something more with God, everyone, soul, mind, and body, and have a blessed and inspired day.